You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Or does that question sound familiar to any of you? Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Where does that question come from? You can say it louder than that. It's okay. Where does that question come from? Confirmation, right? We heard that question last week as we asked our 13 confirmants, do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? But as we talked to them, we didn't just ask that question to them. We asked that to all of us today. Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? And as I asked that question to them, as I asked that question to the congregation, I introduced it by basically saying, this is the question that asks, are you going to come back to church next week? So for y'all, good job. Those of you, as you were here last week, many of you, and you answered that question, I do by the grace of God. You lived it out this week by being in worship so that you could hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully. And so that really brings up the question for me of what's next, right? For those confirmants who have been confirmed in their faith, what's next? For Collins, who has been baptized into the faith, what's next? For those of you out there, some of you who are maybe new to this, some of you who are very experienced and lifelong in the faith, what's next? So that's why we started a new series this week entitled Chapter 2, What's Next? Because God's work doesn't end at confirmation. God's work doesn't end at baptism. God's work doesn't end at that moment of salvation. What we call the big churchy word for that is justification. God's work continues every day until we meet Him face to face. So, what's next? Well, I want to take a look at our text from Hebrews chapter 23 and just look at a few verses in there, but one specifically at the beginning and then the rest of those a little bit later. But Hebrews 10 verse 23 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. I don't know about you, but as I hear that question, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. Ladon, I don't have those texts up on the screen, so I know you're searching frantically, but they're not there. So y'all just have to listen to me read it for you. As we hear that question, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've had doubts. Right? There have been times where I've had questions. There have been times where I wasn't sure if I could keep going. So let us hold fast our confession of faith without wavering. That seems like a lot to ask. That seems like a lot to expect. Last week when we asked those confirmants and the rest of the congregation those questions, yes, we asked the question, do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? But then the last two questions that we asked were questions that basically said, do you intend to continue steadfast in this faith until death, even if that confession of faith leads to death? And we answered, maybe not as vigorously on those, but I do by the grace of God. So, as I read that text from Hebrews 10, I didn't finish the verse. So let me finish that verse to you. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. If you were here with us a number of months ago, back at towards the end of last year, we went through a sermon series in Malachi, and we saw that God's people often did not remain faithful. But no matter how God's people acted, we saw that God always remains faithful. God has never been unfaithful. So as we hold fast to the confession of faith without wavering, we can do that because he who promised is faithful. But if we're holding to this confession of hope, we have to understand what that confession of hope is. And that's actually something we talked about a month ago. Look how we're taking these building blocks, right? And we're bringing them together this week and into these next couple weeks. But what is hope? What is our hope founded in? Our hope is not that our life will be full of sunshine and cupcakes. Our hope is not that we will get that life will turn out exactly the way that we want it. And as much as I want it to be, our hope is not that the Huskers will win the national championship next year. Right? Because if those things are our hope, we're going to be really disappointed. The bowling team will win. Yeah, there you go. We can put our hope in Husker bowling, right? But no, that's not what our hope is. Our hope is that Jesus wins, right? And it's really important to remember what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is not a wish. When I say that I hope, I can have hope that Jesus wins, it's not that I really wish, or it would be really nice if Jesus wins in the end. No, biblical hope is a certainty that you can cling to, right? So I am saying, when I say that I have hope that Jesus wins, I am saying that I am absolutely confident, that you can be absolutely confident that Jesus wins without a shadow of a doubt, absolutely confident. And there's no need to waver in that confession of hope because God is faithful. Jesus wins. And we'll see that clearly on the last day. And this last week, as I was preparing for this sermon, I saw something pop up in my Twitter timeline, and then I've seen it going around in Facebook as well. But it says this: imagine if our Christian view of the end times, of that last day when Jesus returns, imagine if our Christian view of end times was centered on preparing for Christ rather than for the Antichrist. Imagine if it was centered on the mark of the Lamb rather than the mark of the beast. Imagine if it was centered on preparing for redeeming the earth rather than escaping it. And imagine if it was centered on hope rather than fear. And that stuck with me this past week, especially that last phrase. Imagine if our Christian view of the end times was centered on hope rather than fear. So when you think of death, when you think of the end times, when you think of the return of Jesus, when you think of that time where you will meet Jesus face to face, are you filled with fear or hope? Let me read the rest of our text this morning. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day, that last day, drawing near. Now notice that phrase, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Over the past 14 months, we've seen the effects of neglecting to meet together. Now I know for a time, we neglected to meet together, but still really focused on encouraging one another, right? Because that's the whole phrase, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. And so we still sought to, and we still seek to encourage one another through radio or through worshiping online. And so we want to continue to encourage one another, but when you think of death, when you think of the end times, if you're filled with fear rather than hope, this is the place to be. Right? This is the place to be, surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ and encouraged and lifted up week after week. This is the place where you come to hear God's word and to receive the Lord's Supper faithfully. This is the place where when you hear God's word, then you can gather with fellow believers, gather with family and reflect on his word and then stir up one another to love and good works. But it can be really easy to get out of that habit. I told many of you that a few months ago I injured my back while I was working out, but I still loved being with my guys, so I would go every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to work out with them, but I would kind of stay away from any of the muscles in this area because I didn't want to re-injure myself or make the injury worse. But a few weeks ago, my chiropractor that I'd been working with told me it's no longer skeletal. He's got the skeleton lined up, so now it's that the muscles have been doing tendon jobs. The muscles that are supposed to be for movement have been trying to do stability, and so it's time to start moving them again. So on Monday, I did something that I haven't done in 4 months. I squatted, and it felt great. It felt great to go through the motions, to put some weight on, to do some squats. It felt great. Until Tuesday morning when I tried to get out of bed, right? And walk up and downstairs, right? There were muscles that I was so used to using that had basically atrophied over a few months. They weren't used to doing what I was having them do again, and so they were sore. But if you've ever been someone who's worked out, who's played a sport, who's been a runner, that you know there's a difference between good pain and bad pain, right? This was good pain. This was my muscles telling me, hey, let's do some more of that. Let's keep going. Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? For many of us, that get up and go to worship on Sunday morning muscle atrophied. I know when my family, when we came back to worship, it was a struggle at times to be in worship. It was different than sitting at home and sitting on the couch and being able to go refill coffee whenever we wanted or go grab whatever we want for breakfast. Or it was different, and so we had to retrain those muscles. For all of you, maybe that happened 14 months ago, or maybe that happened years and years ago. Maybe there was one big thing that happened, like churches shutting down for a time, or maybe it was a little thing that happened over and over and over again that slowly pulled you away. But I want to tell you that the Spirit has placed you here today to hear His Word, whether here in this place or joining us online, the Spirit has placed you here today to hear His Word. And so whether you were confirmed last week, or you were confirmed many years ago, or have yet to be confirmed. Whether you're here every single week, week after week, or whether you're here today because it's Mother's Day and Mom wanted everyone to be in worship today. Whether you're filled with hope or whether you're filled with fear, I want you to hear God's word today. And I want you to reflect on it, spend time having conversations about it this week, and then put it into practice. Let me just close our time by reading that text from Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen.